You have your Bibles, if you'd open them, please, to 1 Kings, chapter 22. We'll wind up 1 Kings today as we take our look at the life and times of Elijah and Elisha. We'll be reading 1 Kings 22, and verse 41, down through verse 53, the end of the book. Hear now the word of the Lord. Jehoshaphat, son of Asa, became king of Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 25 years. His mother's name was Azubah, daughter of Silhi. In everything he walked in the ways of his father Asa and did not stray from them. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. The high places, however, were not removed, and the people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. Jehoshaphat was also at peace with the king of Israel. As for the other events of Jehoshaphat's reign, the things he achieved and his military exploits, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? He rid the land of the rest of the male shrine prostitutes who remained there, even after the reign of his father Asa. There was then no king in Edom. A deputy ruled. Now Jehoshaphat built a fleet of trading ships to go to Ophir for gold, but they never set sail. They were wrecked at Ezion-Geber. At that time, Ahaziah, son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "Let my men sail with your men." But Jehoshaphat refused. Then Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers and was buried with them in the city of David, his father, and Jehoram, his son, succeeded him. Ahaziah, son of Ahab, became king of Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned over Israel 2 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord because he walked in the ways of his father and mother and in the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. He served and worshiped Baal and provoked the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger, just as his father had done. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask now that you would take this word by the power of your Holy Spirit. Use it in the hearts and lives of the people that hear. Lord, open our ears that we may hear. Lord, open our eyes that we may see you, that we may walk in ways that are pleasing to you. Lord, help us this day, we pray. Lord, we ask that we would hear your voice this day, your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. The title of the sermon, Like Father, Like Son, might seem a little inappropriate for Mother's Day. But I believe the focus of this text applies equally to fathers, mothers, to rulers, to all those whom God has placed in positions of authority. And the temptation when you come to a text like this, there's a sore temptation for the pastor just to skip over it. Because what in the world does the lineage of these kings and where they were buried and all that have to do with us? But all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. But still, the question may linger. What does this have to do with Christians, with mothers, with fathers, with elders and deacons and pastors and rulers? Well, I think it has much to do with it in many ways, which we want to look at. And the first example we have set before us is Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat. We've looked at him over the last several weeks, months, Jehoshaphat entered into an alliance with King Ahab of Israel. We have seen some of the ill effects of that. But we also saw some things that were good in Jehoshaphat. He demanded, if you remember, that Ahab consult a true prophet of the Lord before they went to Ramoth Gilead to go to war against Aram. He rebuked Ahab for being unkind and cruel to Micaiah, the prophet of the Lord. And we find in our text today the divine assessment of Jehoshaphat. Look there in verse 43. In everything, he walked in the ways of his father Asa and did not stray from them. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And you see there the foundation for his right walking, for his things that he did that were right in the eyes of the Lord, was the foundation laid by his father Asa. Now, Asa is often called Good King Asa because Asa turned the people of Judah back to the Lord. Asa's father, Abijah, led Israel into idolatry. He promoted idolatry. And when Asa came to the throne, he turned that back. He tried to rid the land of the idols. He tried to rid the land of the male shrine prostitutes, as we read. He tried to turn the hearts of the people back to the Lord. And he followed, and we see this about Asa and Jehoshaphat both. They walked in the ways of their father David. Now, I've told you before, but I remind you, there's no actual word in Hebrew for grandfather or great-grandfather, any of those terms that we use. So when they say father David, I mean he's their immediate father, but they are descended from David. That's the reason they're on the throne. But they walked in the ways of David. David, who was a man after God's own heart. David, who was the epitome of virtue and righteousness and the representation of the right kind of king. So they walked in the ways of David. We should note one other thing about Asa and Jehoshaphat. I mentioned a few weeks ago that Jehoshaphat had this proclivity to enter into alliances with evil, idol-worshiping kings. We have seen some of that as we've made our journey through this book, and we've seen some of the ill effects of it. But Asa, his father, entered into an alliance with the king of Syria, another idol worshiper. He entered into that alliance to go to war with the king of Israel, the northern kingdom. And so when Jehoshaphat comes to the throne, when he becomes king, he does some of the things he saw his father do. Now the question that you have to ask, and I think the lesson here is clear, your children can be influenced for good or for ill by your own example. Jehoshaphat walked in the ways of Asa, meaning them good, but he also picked up a couple of bad habits from his father, making alliances with those who hated God and those who were idol worshipers. You know, it's almost a family tradition, you could say, to enter into these alliances with these pagan idol worshiping kings. So your children can be influenced for good or for ill by your example. And what we saw this morning that Gary and Jackie shared with us, there's this tremendous battle going on in Colombia for the hearts and souls of the children. They can be influenced for good or for ill by the work that goes on there. Many of them don't have parents anymore, as you saw. But I think the lesson here is clear. And the question you have to ask is, how have you lived before your children? Have you lived before them in a way that represents to them, that models for them the holy faith, the faith that was in many cases handed down to you from your father and your mother? You have to ask, are you living that way? What are the things that your children, what are the things that baby Christians, what are the things that immature believers are learning from you? What are the things they see you doing that could lead them into harm? But someone might say, well, aren't we supposed to be at peace with all people? Aren't we supposed to try to get along with all people? What's wrong with Jehoshaphat trying to make peace, trying to be at rest, as we just read, with the king of Israel? Well, you'll recall after the battle at Ramoth-Gilead, where Jehoshaphat barely escaped with his life by the Lord's intervention. Ahab was killed there. Jehoshaphat, by God's grace, survived. And Jehoshaphat made his way back to Jerusalem safely. When he arrived in Jerusalem, he was confronted by Jehu, the seer, who said this to him, 2 Chronicles 19. Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. There is, however, some good in you, for you have rid the land of the Asherah poles and have set your heart on seeking God. We read just a little bit later in our text this morning that later he enters into an alliance with Ahab's son, Ahaziah, another wicked, evil king. He decides to build some ships to go down to Ophir to get some gold and bring back. A business venture, we could call this, perhaps. 2 Chronicles 20 tells us this about that adventure. Later, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, made an alliance with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who was guilty of wickedness. He agreed with him to construct a fleet of trading ships, and after these were built, Ezion-Geber, Eliezer, son of Dodavahu of Merishah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because you have made an alliance with Ahaziah, the Lord will destroy what you've made. The ships were wrecked and were never able to set sail. That's the Lord's judgment upon it. Should we not consider, should our country not consider alliances that we enter into? Should we not consider as fathers and mothers alliances that we enter into with unbelievers, with people who hate God? I think the testimony of Scripture there is clear. We should not be part of this. We should not be part of alliances and agreements and things to cooperate with those who worship idols, who do not worship the one true God, who hate God. That's a thing that we need to consider carefully. But Jehoshaphat, in spite of some of his failings, as we read there in the Chronicles account, he still served as an example of virtue and faithfulness that is needed. He is held up. There were very few good kings in Judah. You can count them on two hands. Jehoshaphat was one of those. He was the good son of a good father. But what use is it to read about Ahab more? He died several weeks ago, if you'll recall. But we still bring him up. What use is there to see in this evil person? Well, it shows us one thing, that sons do not often escape the negative influence of their fathers or their mothers. Look at verse 52 in our text. Ahaziah. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord because he walked in the ways of his father Ahab and his mother Jezebel in the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. They followed after Jeroboam. Jeroboam was the one who rebelled against Solomon's son and split off the northern kingdom. And the particular sin of Jeroboam was that he set up golden calves to worship in Dan and Bethel, the northern and the southern extremes of his kingdom. And Jeroboam did that, and don't be confused by that. He did not do that to replace the worship of the Lord. He did it to add to the worship of the Lord. This is a better way to worship the Lord than the way the Lord has instructed us. You won't have to bother to go down there to Jerusalem. I got a good place for you right here. This is syncretism. This is the word I hope you're familiar with over these last months that we've encountered over and over. It's not that they do away with the worship of the Lord. It's that they combine other practices, other idolatrous practices, with the worship of the Lord. And it's so prevalent today. The cry goes up. We believe in God. We worship God. But we're going to do it our way. We're going to do it the way we please. We don't exactly go along with everything that's in the Scripture. So we're going to do it this way. But we still believe in God. This is the problem. You remember, I hope, Ahab had lots of prophets. 400 prophets who were always inquiring of the Lord. They're always seeking to find out what the Lord wanted, and they were always prophesying lies. It's not about the activity. It's not about the fact that they're not worshiping. They engage in all kinds of practices of worship and sacrifice. But they were not walking in the way of the Lord. And the result is clear. Ahaziah, the last verse we read, he served and worshiped Baal and provoked the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger, just as his father had done. Like father, like son. So does this mean that those who are born of evil, idolatrous, unchristian, ungodly parents are doomed to destruction? Does it mean that those who are born of God-fearing Christian parents raised in the church are guaranteed an entrance into heaven? Not at all. Not at all. Asa chose to follow God when his father was an idol worshiper. But Asa's grandson, Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram, who succeeded him, we'll find out when we get to 2 Kings, did evil in the sight of the Lord. When Jehoram came to the throne, he murdered all of his brothers. And the scripture says he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. We have to answer for ourselves. You can turn from a bad family situation, you can turn from a bad upbringing, you can never be in church, and the Lord can work in your heart, you can hear the gospel, and you can be saved. And you can grow up and be in church all your life and be lost. And the prophet Ezekiel gives us some insight into this in chapter 33, beginning in verse 12. He says, "Therefore, son of man, say to your countrymen, the righteousness of the righteous man will not save him when he disobeys. And the wickedness of the wicked man will not cause him to fall when he turns from it. The righteous man, if he sins, will not be allowed to live because of his former righteousness. If I tell the righteous man that he will surely live, but then he trusts in his righteousness and does evil, None of the righteous things he has done will be remembered. He will die for the evil he has done. And if I say to the wicked man, you will surely die, but he then turns away from his sin and does what is just and right, if he gives back what he took in pledge for a loan and returns what he has stolen, follows the decrees that give life, and does no evil, he will surely live. He will not die. None of the sins he has committed will be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right, and he will surely live. Yet your countrymen say, the way of the Lord is not just. But it's their way that is not just. If a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, he will die for it. If a wicked man turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he will live by doing so. Yet, O house of Israel, you say, the way of the Lord is not right. But I will judge each of you according to his own ways. You can be raised in a Christian home. And so many times we have heard people give their testimony. And the testimony goes something like this. My mother took me to church when I was a baby. I've been in church ever since. You know, I go, you know, pretty much all the time. But there's no mention of Christ. There's no mention of their sin. There's no mention of the need of a Savior. It's just that they've been doing the right thing in their mind. And to be condemned, they would say, well, that's not right. The way the Lord's not right. I've been in church. That's exactly what we just read. Those who turn from righteousness, from a good upbringing, from all the benefits that their mother, grandmother, fathers, grandfathers may have instilled in them, and yet they do not follow that way. They will surely face eternal death that God in his justice will dispense. And yet those who have not had those opportunities, those who have not been raised in the church, those who've not walked in the way of righteousness and been taught the way of righteousness, yet they can turn, they can repent of their evil, and they will live. They will have eternal life. But the scripture's pretty clear also. The likelihood of following the Lord is greatly enhanced by godly examples. God is pleased to work along covenantal lines of faithful mothers and fathers. And remember what we said earlier. Asa did not have a good example to follow. His father was an idolater. But he walked in the ways of David. There was in his lineage a man after God's own heart. There was a grandfather, mothers, grandmothers, others who left that example. Not so in the northern kingdom. There was never a good king in the nation of Israel for all those years. Their example was Jeroboam. His son was wicked, and his son after him was wicked, and his son after him was wicked. There never was a good king. No good king. You know, when kings who fail to take a public stance of fidelity, worship, and obedience to God, when kings issue decrees that promote practices which disregards God's law, those kings are called evil in the scripture. And I think this is a word of warning for all those that God has placed in positions of authority. Those who fail to take a public stance of fidelity, worship, obedience to God. Those who promote practices that disregard God's law are called evil. Oh, that the leaders of this country would hear those words. And the examples of our leaders who by that definition are evil are many. But the admonition, as I said earlier, is to all those who are in positions of authority, mothers and fathers. Mothers and fathers who fail to take a public stance of worship and fidelity and obedience to the Lord. This is what we do. We're Christians. We worship the Lord. This is Sunday. This is what we do. We're true to what God says. We believe what God says. We obey God's law. Those mothers and fathers who encourage worldliness, idolatry, who promote in their children things that the Lord says are wrong, things that His Word says are not right. Those parents are evil. I don't care how good they may seem in the eyes of the world. I don't care how loving they are and how much they provide for their children and how many opportunities they give them. But if they deny them the reverence of God, the obedience to His Word, they're evil, just as the rulers who do those things are evil. How terrible it is when mothers and fathers lead their children down the path of damnation. How awful is that? And the question this morning is, as parents, as leaders, are you doing good or are you doing evil? Because this is not just mothers and fathers. It's all God has placed in positions of authority. Teachers, pastors, elders, deacons, rulers, congressmen. God has given those people that responsibility. The question is, are you doing good or are you doing evil? We should be able to echo the words of Paul. Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble. Whether Jews or Greeks or the church of God. Follow me, Paul says. Follow me. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And note well, pay attention. Paul did not say, I am the example you're to follow. I'm not saying I'm the example you should follow. Mothers and fathers, we fail many times. What he's saying is, follow my example as that example follows Christ. If you do that, then you can say, like master, like servant, like mother, like daughter, like father, like son, and it will all be to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, lay upon our heart the tremendous responsibility that all of us bear in some way. We're not all mothers, we're not all fathers, we're not all pastors, we're not all elders, but we all influence someone, somewhere. And Lord, may our prayer be as Paul said, that we not cause anyone to stumble. And we cannot do that in our own strength. But we can do it as we follow Christ, as we live as He has commanded. And Lord, we do pray for the children of this land, or the children of Colombia, the children of many places in the world who have no example at all, who have not the scripture, who are not in church, whose parents care not enough to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lord, we would pray for them, that you would open doors for them. Lord, that others would come along, that others would minister to them in a special way, sharing with them the truth of your word. And Lord, we pray that as your church and as your people, we would do that. Lord, help us seek opportunities. Help us to look for ways, Lord, to influence the children. Lord, help us, we pray, with our own children, our own families and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Lord, open our eyes to the things we do that we should not do. Lord, encourage us in the things that we do that we should do for their edification, for your glory and honor. And Lord, we pray that it would all be for your honor and glory. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.